righty, if you will, turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, and verse 17. Second Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 17. Let's start up at verse 11. But 17 is going to be the main thought of it. That's it, but I'm going to read 11 through 18. But here we see where it's speaking of a position that we need to be in to serve the Lord and for the Lord to bless us as individuals. And it says in verse 11, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not strengthened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto you, unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in, the house of the Lord. I will dwell with the Lord. I will dwell within his surroundings. I will indwell his thoughts, and I will indwell with his mind, because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to allow our minds to be the minds of Christ. We find that in 1 Peter, I believe it is. So we need to have the mind of Jesus Christ. And if we have the mind of Jesus Christ, that means that what we're trying to do, we're trying to mature in him. That's what it means, all about it. That means we must mature. What does the word mature mean? Mature means to be like Jesus Christ. That's what it means. That's what the Bible says. There's so many Bible dictionaries I have at home. I can look up that word, and it says the same thing, that I'm striving for the man, for the mind of Christ. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You know, right here in these verses where we just read, there's a whole lot right here in these verses. But the main thing I want to bring out to you today is in verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. Wherefore, come out from among them. Come out from among who? Your neighbors? Your friends? Your co-workers? And it says, and be ye separated. Be separated from the world that is of the world, and I mean the people of the world, but we're supposed to be separated because of they are of the world and they not of Christ. And if we are saved, and if we've been bought with his precious blood, if we've been pardoned, then what we need to realize is that we don't have to be separated, because we're already separated. And the word teaches us how to be separated. We ourselves, I cannot go out here and do something and be separated. I don't have the ability. I don't have the mind, and I don't have the ability for me to separate my life from the sinner's life. But Jesus also said this. He also mentioned that I didn't go with Paul. I didn't go with Peter. They went with me. They went with him. Why did they go with him? So they could mature. See, Peter needed to be matured in the Lord. That's the reason Peter stayed close to him. And then when Peter stepped aside and going in his own direction, he denied Christ. He denied the Lord Jesus. He won't mature enough in his, for scripture wise. He won't mature enough in God's word in saying that, well, you know, I just don't have a mind, and I just don't have the ability to go out here and end up not doing some of the things that some of the other people are doing. I don't have the ability to turn away from that. I don't have the mind to turn away from that. My mind is not saturated. My mind needs to be saturated with the Word of God. It needs to be so saturated so when I do get in your positions, then the Lord Jesus, by the presence of the Holy Spirit, will make me completely miserable until I get my life straight. You know, we don't want to say that to people. But you know, that's the way we ought to pray, though. We ought to pray that, hey, Lord, you know, somebody I've been praying for years. They still don't even give you second thought. They don't know who you are. They want to bless your meal. They want to bless the people that prepared your meal. It don't make no, the people that may prepare your meal, they may be a Satan. They may be working for Satan. But you still got to pray for them. That's what he asked. you receive not because you pray not. If you want to receive something, you pray for it. Me and my wife were talking on the way down here. And I was saying something to her, and I just fed it within my body from head to top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And I felt like that for the last couple weeks. Had never felt like that before. But I feel like that everything is going to be just fine. That I'm going to get back and I'm going to go out here and I'm going to knock on some doors. And I'm going to start doing some things that I used to do. Now, he did not say that, hey, well, you're going to do this. And you're going to do that and everything like you used to and everything. He didn't, and then he stopped right there. He didn't say what when he was coming back after me. He didn't say, you got a 2-day span of that. You will have 2 days that you're going to be able to do what you want to do. You want to do what you think you want to do for the church. You want to do what you say you want to do. But he didn't say anything about me coming home sooner than later. He didn't say anything to me about the catching of the whale or rapture. That's the only thing he spoke to me about. And I feel it with it. I don't know what, don't ask me how. Don't ask me what the feeling is, but I feel it. Within my bones, I feel it. And I don't know why. I reckon because I've been praying. And I don't know why. I don't know if that's it or not. Because I've come to the point in my life that I don't know what to pray for anymore. And that's what I went to the Lord about. I said, Lord, this is Donnie again. I don't know what to ask you today. Because everything that I come up with today, I've already asked you for it. So today I don't have anything new. And I'll tell you, when we separate ourselves from the world, and when we separate ourselves from the scripture, which is twofold, whatever is contrary to the mind of God and unto God himself, the underlying principle is that in a moral universe, it is impossible for God to fully bless and use his children who are in compromise or complacency with evil. The unequal yoke in everything which unites a child of God and an unbeliever in a common purpose. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and 10 says, there says, separation from evil implies separation in desire. We must separate ourselves from the desires that we have and the desires that we have had on our heart. Oh, yes, there's been some things that I would have loved to see, that where I could maybe afford to buy something like that. I'd love to be able to buy me a newer model car that looks a little better than the one I got. But the Lord says, the things I desire, I need to separate myself from that. How do I separate myself from them thoughts? The Lord says, Donnie, would a brand new vehicle with no mileage on it that you just went and picked up from the dealership, has no miles on it, got a full tank of gas, what do they put in there for you? Donnie, is that automobile going to get me to that home that's having problems? To that individual where they can't speak to one another because of the devil and the one that they serve? If the vehicle does not get you there any quicker, without you breaking the law of the land, you don't need it. Just because it looks a little better, just because the paint shines on that. He said, I done spoke to you two or three times about maybe putting some wax on yours. He says, is that going to increase your knowledge of Scripture? Is that going to entice you to speak about something different than you've ever spoken before? Is the car going to do that for you? No. That car's not going to get me nowhere closer. Nah. That car is not going to give me no reason to where I can respect the Scripture more than I do now. The car, the vehicle is not going to do that for me. The vehicle is nothing but a desire in what I want. And what do we need? We need to have the desire in what God has promised us. If we would go after it His way, we would not have to worry about it. I would not have to worry about this, and I wouldn't have to worry about that. Why? Because I'm separated from the world. I'm separated. I hate Satan. I don't love Satan. I don't love the individual that even loves Satan. I mean, I hate the sin, but I love the sinner. I love the sinner, but I hate the sin. And we must tell people that I hate sin, but I love the sinner. How can that be? How can you be that? How can you love the sinner, and you say you don't love the sin? If you love the sinner, then you've got to have a little portion of your love is going to the sin that they're committing. No, I don't either. The Scripture tells you that. The Scripture tells you that I can stay away from that desire. I can stay away from the desire that he wants, that Satan wants me to have. The Satan wants me to have the desire, first of all, for the sin of this world, to look at these posters and these billboards out here that they got out here. They using people. They even using Christians. Born again believers. And promoting Satan's work. I don't think we should be promoting it. I think if anything, we should bring it up. If it's something like that does not promote Jesus Christ, then we need to let them know. I can remember back, this is when my grandmother was living, when she was going to the tabernacle. When R.J. Barber was pastor that day. I won't save then. But people was talking about R.J. Barber. And I don't understand. Well, at the time, I do understand why they done it, in a way. I mean, I won't save. It ain't no different to me. But R.J. Barber, they got it out that every Sunday that he took up the offering in a wheelbarrow. They'd roll the wheelbarrow down to the front, have a prayer, and then they'd roll the wheelbarrows back out where people would pass the envelope down and put it in the wheelbarrow. Hey, if that's what God wanted a wheelbarrow. God wanted to get his message out. That was a time that they was having the discussion at the council meeting about allowing the mixed drink on Sunday. Allowing alcohol to be sold on Sunday. And even before that, it was allowing for businesses to be open on Sunday. How many of you know that when businesses was closed on Sunday, and you'd go out, and if you went out, you didn't go to no McDonald's, you didn't go to no Hardee's, no Wendy's, no Kelly's, no nothing to buy any food. Why? Because Sunday was a day of rest. They knew that. The people knew that. The pastors knew that. The preachers knew that. And they preached against it. They preached against businesses opening up on Sunday. I even heard about that at one time here in Danville, Pennsylvania County, there was not but one drugstore that would be open. And the drugstore that would be open would be the one that only thing that they would provide is the drug that patients needed. How many of you remember that? I remember good. All the other drugstores would be closed. But here's a drugstore. They could open this week. Two drugstores could not open at the same time. What happened? I'll tell you exactly what happened. It was the love that they had for their money. There's not a thing in the world wrong with the money. No part of it, no nothing. Nothing wrong with that. But it's the way we use it. That's where the wrong comes in at. I don't know if you remember or not, but I don't even know when it come out now. It's probably been 25, maybe 30 years ago now. But when it was talking about the state of Virginia going to the lottery system, where you could go ahead and buy lottery tickets for $1. And if you bought a lottery ticket, then there's a possibility you could win $500. Well, naturally, hey, that right there will get people's mind. Gonna get the curiosity up. Well, they said, well, if you go out there, if you sell enough of dollar tickets, then yeah, I may win at $500. But now they're not winning $500. They're going out here and they're spending their complete paycheck once a month to try to reach and win the money that is on, that they have got posted on TV, that they've got posted on the billboards out here, that has got posted in the paper, that's got posted on the radio, and posted on every news outlet that there is. And even people, even pastors, even preachers in the pulpit are promoting it also. There's nothing wrong with a dollar. There's not a thing in the world wrong with a dollar. But it's the way that we use that dollar. I can remember when it first came out and everything, it was a policeman in Martinsville. He played it. And he was a member of a Baptist church, independent, fundamental Baptist church. It was a black church. And he was a black policeman. But he loved the Lord. The pastor of that church wrote an article and had it put in the Martinsville paper up there. And it was telling out all about what that individual had told him. That individual told him that he went out here, he bought a lottery ticket. He said he just curious to see what it looked like. But he went out and bought one. And he won $50,000. He came back to church right after he come on back to church and everything. He was coming every, all the services and everything, just like he always had. But then when he received that check from the state of Virginia, from the lottery system, he went to church that Sunday. And he met with the pastor that Sunday morning, right before church even started, because he'd called him and asked him. He says, Pastor, he said, I need to talk to you this morning. I need to see if you can help me with it, because I'm struggling. But I need just to come and talk to you. He says, you come on. We'll meet at your church and you just talk. You just tell me what's on your heart and everything. And he did. The pastor told him, he said, you know, I know my wife, she used to ride, we used to ride together. Well, she can drive the other automobile to get to church and where it will not have to interrupt us. So that Sunday, he went up there and he met the pastor in the pastor's study there. And the pastor looked at him and he says, I can tell that you're struggling with this. I can tell that you are heartbroken over what it is, I don't know. And you don't know what to do about it. You just think that you may have to just give up. But you don't have to give up on God's work. Don't give up on God's work. And the pastor asked him, called him by his name. He said, "Sir, can you explain to me what's going on? What's touched your heart in that way? What's going on? Because I could tell it, it's been going on for a little while. But we need to go and get it straight today, so the Lord can bless you and you can be a blessing to the Lord and a blessing to all of his services." The gentleman spoke up and he said, "Well," he said, "the Lord has blessed me in so many different ways. I don't understand it. I just don't understand how he blesses me and the way he wants to bless me. I just don't understand it." He said, "But I do know this. Something has been speaking to my heart about the blessings of the Lord. Something's been strong on my heart that I can't get away from it." And he said, "Well," he says, "just tell it like it is. Tell it, you know, what's on your heart and everything." Said, "Don't worry about if you say anything wrong and it's going to be a hardship on you. Don't worry about none of that. You just tell me what's on your heart. And the Lord's here, God's here, the Holy Spirit's here. They all three are going to hear what you say. They already know what you're going to say. I don't know what you're going to say, but I know it's trouble. It's troubling your heart." And I said, "Well," he said, "Pastor, I need to ask you a question. And I've been praying about it, to what to say. And I haven't got no answer back." He said, "You haven't?" I said, "No." I said, "God ain't spoke to me about an answer or what to say or anything. But I know that I have got to come face to face with it. And I've got to bring it up to the church, to the house. I know that we support missionaries. I know that we support this activity that is going on for the young people. I know all that." He said, "But Pastor, what I want to know is, I've got 5,755 dollars that I want to give the church." He said, "What?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I got 7,000. What was it, 5? I forgot what I said now. But he said, "I've got this much money I need to give to the church. I need to give it because I don't need to keep it." He said, "You don't?" I said, "No." I says, "I know what my word says. I know what the word says in the Bible. The word says, be a cheerful giver. Tithe 10%. Give God back 10% of what he's given you. He give you 90% to live with. Do you think that you can live better on 10% than 90%? He was telling the pastor, he said, no. He said, that's the reason I want to come to you. He said, I got this money, and this is the 10% of the church, to the church, for what I received in by mail. He said, well, he says, hey, that's great. He says, now, I know you say it's great now, and you say the church can use it by supporting this and everything, that we won't want to support this and that and everything. Says the church can use that. Money support this and support that for the Lord. He said, Pastor, he said, before you say anything else about any of that, I need to tell you how I got it. The pastor kind of looked at him in a way that he didn't understand. And this man, he had the money before. He didn't need that money. He didn't need a $50,000 because he had more money than that. And I know the individual. I know his brother. His brother used to own a dealership in Danville. And his last name was Harrison. It's a bunch of Harrisons around. And every last one of them's got money. How they come about it, I don't know. Maybe their parents left it to them, or somebody left it to them. But if you ever heard of anybody that goes out here and will work on churches or build churches or whatever, and they're black organization, you can bank it that they are a part of the Harrison group, because that's all they do. They just want to make sure that God gets his word out. Oh, some of these crew members on there that they have working there, they're not all Christians, no. But they will tell you just like Christ tells you. He says, how can you win it lost if you never speak to the lost? How can we? We can't. How can we ever win it lost if we don't never go somewhere to where the lost is at? Just because we go into the place where the lost is at does not mean that we must dwell on what the lost is doing. The only thing we must dwell on, that we know by a shadow of a doubt, that they're not saved. They don't know God. And if they knew God, that they would have all the blessings upon their life. The separation. Separation got to be a desire. We got to desire something to have any kind of separation at all. The motive on and the act from the world itself. The individual that thinks on the world that the world has it, that we can go out there and we can mingle with them and still win them to the Lord, still win them to Jesus. That's impossible. That's impossible, because if you change your desires to their desires, no way under the sun you'll ever win them to Jesus. We must win them. We must go to them because we have the desire of Christ. They have the desire of Satan. It's really simple. It's really simple. If we want a better life for ourselves, if we want to know more people than the people we know, we need to be the ones that's willing to go about it first. We need to let people know that, yeah, we're separated. This church, this body of people right here, is separated from the Catholic Church. Why are we separated from the Catholic Church? The Catholic Church has been right here a whole lot longer than the Baptist has. Because it was in Rome, the Pope. I mean, he's over there. And he's running his church from over there in that building over there. But yet, he's running it over there. But what is he running? He's running a business there that promotes homosexuals, that promotes Satan and what he wants. And they wonder why. They say, I ain't never understood why in the world a priest can't get married. Well, you just have to go by what God's word says. If you want to live in sin, you got to sit down with it. You got to agree to it. And I'm not saying that all the Catholics are that way. But I'm saying the priests are. A whole lot of the priests. They go out here and they molest children. Is that right? No, it's not right. Does God condemn it? Yes. God condemns that. Does Satan condemn that? No. Satan don't condemn it. Satan, he's the leader of it. You know, one thing I do know, that if for believers, for people that are saved by the grace of God, that has his blood applied to his life, they have to be separated. They're already separated. Because Jesus Christ has already separated them. He's already separated my condemned blood. He's already separated. I'm not walking around today with the old Gentile blood any longer. I'm walking around today seeking out what God asked me to seek out. And when I do that, then I'm walking around with the blood who has authority come from God. Yes, I'm of the Jewish faith. Why are you of the Jewish faith? I thought some of the Jews would not say, you're right, but some of them are not. Some of the Gentiles are here not saved either, are they? Am I supposed to stay with the Gentiles? No. I won't birth into the Gentiles the second time. But I was birthed into God's family the second time. And with that birth that I was indwelt with, applies with the blood and needs to have a new renewing of what's inside. Of what's inside of me has to be renewed. And that's the blood. I'm so thankful that I have the blood. I'm so thankful that this church still believes in the blood. I'm so thankful that it still believes in it to the point that they sing, that you sing about it, and you want other people to know about it. There's so many things that, we can take scripture, and we can do it that way. But we're doing it against God. Yeah. Some people say, well, there ain't no lies in God's word. There is not no lies that Jesus Christ wanted printed. But there are some in there that we know that is nothing but a liar. And that's when Satan tells me, you can do whatever you want to this week. You can go. You can drive. You can go and you walk up to the house. You can even run up to the house. And when you do, then you can thank the Lord. No, he said, you think you're going to say, you need to thank the Lord? No. He's not going to say it that way. He's going to say, now look at what I have touched in your life. Look at what I have done. He hasn't done nothing for me. He hasn't. He never has. And he never will. The only thing that he wants from me now is to live my life to the point that I can lead more people to hell than I can lead to heaven. That's all he's for. When God created hell, he created hell for who? The devil and his angels. Lucifer and his angels. That's who he created for. He didn't create hell for nobody. He didn't even, when he created hell, he did not even create it for the angels there in heaven. He wasn't creating hell for nobody. He wasn't creating hell for Osama bin Laden and all over there. That was killing innocent people, killing children, and children going out here, and they was murdering own children. He didn't create hell for them. You say, preacher, well, how in the world can you get along with somebody like that on this earth? No. What we should have been doing the whole time, we should have been praying for him. We should have been doing, we should have been praying for him. But were we? No, I doubt it. I won't. Why? Because I've seen all the evil that he's done. I've seen all the lives that he's taken. I didn't want no part of that. I felt like that I was going to get my hands dirty with the blood of innocent people that was murdered by him and his guards and his people. It's just like they hit the city farm. Did you realize that if a Christian, I mean, the born again believer, the one that has the blood of Jesus on their life, if they would just pray for this city and this county, God says, if we'll just do that, then I can close the city farm. Where the prisoners go. See, because we got individuals here in town that walk the street and everything. We got them that gets in trouble constantly. Why? Because they know that they can go to the city farm and they can get out of the weather and they could get a decent meal to eat. And that's sad. In our household alone, within a week's time, and what we gather to eat and what we throw away within that week can probably feed 5 or 6 of their inmates a week, because they don't get that much. But here it is. We just sop it up. And if we don't want it, we don't have to eat it. We can put enough on our plates to where we don't eat them. We don't eat all of it. But what we left on our plate was all they would get of the same vegetable or whatever it is. That's all they would get. But that's what we need to pray for. We need to pray for that. This church right here, Faith Baptist Church, and it's now with 7 people here. 7 people. If we, these 7 people, if we would just get along with God and say, God, here I am. I don't know if I've ever done this before or not, Lord, but I want to surrender everything that I have to you. I want to give it back to you, Lord, because you first of all gave it to me. I said, Lord, I just asked you to touch. If we would just do that, we would be surprised at what kind of effect that we'd have on Pennsylvania County and the city down. Just these 7 people. See, these 7 people will go out here and they will be able to speak about something that will touch this individual's life. then that individual will go out here and be able to tell somebody in their family to touch their life. Then they could go and touch somebody else's life. And then somebody else will touch somebody else's that maybe is in the family of the individual that's at the city farm. So really, when it comes right down to it, we're adding the blessings of God up every day. You know, if God don't want to bless me no more, He don't have to. And I could not complain the first time. But if He didn't want to, my prayer would be that He would take the blessings that He had for me to touch their families, their family members that's at home. Touch their family members, that their family members can pray for that individual. Lord, we just thank You so much for the service today. We thank You so much for that one word, the separation. We must be Ye separate, saith the Lord. Father, we pray, God, that You'll go with us. Be with the people this week. Help them, Father, that their life will so shine with the people around them that the people can experience in seeing someone that's walking with God. Lord Jesus, we thank You and we love You on this side of heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior and our Redeemer, we thank You. Amen and amen.